Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro, Micro and Small Cap News on Thursday, the 11th of June, 2026. The reason I'm doing this on a Thursday is because tomorrow, on Friday the 12th, it's an historic day in the markets. And I mean globally, even though the event is happening on the NASDAQ, this is of global interest, not just from investors, but the ripple effects it has. So tomorrow, we'll see the biggest IPO in history, ever. I don't need the word ever there. It's in history. We're not looking forward, are we? SpaceX, and the ripple effects it'll have. Now, why this is interesting, I know I was going to buy a few, but just not because I want to earn money on it, because it's the biggest IPO in history. And that's the kind of fever it's created. There are people asking about, you know, who've never invested, asking others about this, you know, IPO, SpaceX, is it worth investing? All that stuff. I think it is worth investing for the short term. I think there will be a pop, and it may last a month. I'll explain why in a bit. But I think after that, it could have a very big negative ripple across the markets, and I'll explain why. So is the biggest IPO in history a red flag? That's the question I'm asking. I don't have the answer. We'll find out in probably a month's time. But I just want to look at the indices year to date so far. So I'm going to go in reverse order, okay? These are UK, European and US indices, basically. At the bottom of the pile, the AMOL share, up 0.78% for the year. It was doing a lot better. It's one of the best performing, but it's quite volatile, of course. Second from last, the FTSE 250. Of course, there's been a lot of domestic issues, and that affects domestic companies. Up 2.14% for the year. FTSE small cap, up 3.21%. At next, Stoxx 600, Europe. That's 3.7% up. Dow Jones up 3.86%. FTSE 100 up 3.26%. S&P 500 up 6.16%. FTSE All World Index up 7.12%. At number two, the NASDAQ up 8.29%. And the best performing indices to date so far, major indices, of course, Russell 2000, the American small cap indices, up 14.25%. We are having a bit of pressure at the moment, aren't we, under the indices? And, you know, it's. I think it'll blow off. I think it's interesting what's happening with the oil market. There's several things going on. Oil isn't really, you know, peaking out. And people think, why not? There's been 20% of the world oil and other resources, you know, taken out because the Strait of Hormuz is shut. Or is it shut? I don't know if you're Trump. He admitted yesterday, apart from saying inflation is great, he loves inflation. And I think he said it the wrong way. I think he meant to say he's surprised inflation isn't higher. But he'll say it'll drop off a cliff. But he admitted the Americans are stealing tankers of oil and selling it. So there's more oil going to market. There's China with massive reserves. And I couldn't understand why the oil price wasn't like, you know, peaking out at $150 a barrel. And we're now struggling, even as, you know, Trump has fired, there's more attacks happening in the Middle East between Iran and America. The oil price is not reacting. Now, this tells you something is happening in the underlying market. And the fact is, China has huge surpluses. There is some oil getting out. But also, what's happening at the moment isn't structural. You know, there's been no sort of massive, you know, bombings of oil and gas infrastructure. There's been a little bit. But I think beforehand, before the Middle East crisis, what happened was, is there was a huge, you know, glut, an oversupply. And when the Middle East concludes, this war concludes, whenever it does, I don't think Iran want to conclude it. I think they want to create as much chaos and havoc to America. And they can only do that by keeping the strait shut and impacting by inflation. But once this is finished, you've got a backed up supply in the Middle East. You've got non-OPEC companies, of which the UAE is now one, ramping up supply to get back, you know, try and claw back some lost revenue. So I think, you know, once it's finished, this conflict, oil prices will slump. So if you're thinking about, oh, the oil's going to go up, and I buy an oil and gas company or whatever, be careful. Because if there's any suggestion of a ceasefire, a permanent one, not just a temporary one, with they're still firing at each other, oil should slump because the market is seeing through this. Anyway, let's get on to the biggest IPO in history, SpaceX. All right. Now, I said there's five sort of red flags worth looking at when it comes to the markets. And the fact that the American markets are close to an all-time high, they've had a bit of a sell-off last few days. But these red flags are IPO volume, the Buffett indicator, the Shiller Cape, the yield curve, and market breadth, okay? So let's look at IPO volume or IPOs in general. Now, big IPO volume can be a sign the market is near top for three reasons. First of all, number one, exploiting irrational exuberance. The primary goal of a company going public is to raise capital at the highest possible valuation. The signal, when IPO volume spikes, it means the smart money believes current market prices are higher than they will be in the future. They are rushing to sell their shares to the public while investors are still willing to pay a premium. Number two, high underpricing and the FOMO loop. I don't think this is in play right here at the moment, but essentially in a hot IPO market, you often see massive first day pops. E.g. a stock price going, you know, listing at $20 and then popping to $40 at the end of the day. This is known as underpricing. So large first day gains create that feedback loop. Retail investors see these as easy profits, pour even more cash into the next IPO, regardless of the company's actual profits or fundamentals. This leads to a state of positive feedback where prices are driven upward far beyond rational economic value. Once the pool of greater fools, or the new buyers, dries up, the market often collapses under its own weight. Number three, this is very relevant, very pertinent to what's happening right now. Supply-demand imbalance. A busy IPO market creates a mechanical problem for the stock market. Dilution. The signal, every new IPO represents a fresh supply of stock that requires new cash to maintain its price. Of course, cash doesn't come from nowhere. It's got to come from somewhere. For example, if 1,000 companies goes public in a single year, as last seen in 2021, the peak of the market, the last peak, they are effectively sucking billions of dollars out of the existing market to fund these new listings. Think of a tsunami, for example. If you're on a beach and a tsunami is about to happen, the first signal you get is the water starts getting sucked out. It goes out before it comes back in. And that's this huge wave to suck in volumes, billions of gallons of water into it, okay? That's what happens with lots of IPOs. Just sucks a lot of cash, you know, from other parts of the market into the IPOs. So the breaking point, eventually, the amount of new stock being issued exceeds the amount of new cash entering the market. When the buy-side liquidity is exhausted and the sheer volume of new shares, the market loses its upward momentum and becomes highly vulnerable to a sell-off. And the key takeaway here is, as noted by financial researchers like Jay Ritter, IPOs issued during bubble periods. Now, are we in a bubble? Could be questioned. Some maybe say we are. Very similar to dot-com era. I know the companies now listing have cash and in a cash flow, whereas back in the dot-com bubble, some didn't even have revenue. But anyway, IPOs issued during a bubble period characterized by high volume and high first-day returns, historically underperformed by as much as 38% over the following 5 years. So it underperforms the market by 38%. A record number of IPOs is less a sign of a healthy economy and more sign of a saturated market. So, in 2021, there were 1,035 IPOs. That is nuts, isn't it? And in total, they raised about $142 billion. It was an historic all-time peak for IPOs. Classic top of the market. And that was the last top of the market, of course. And this is because of SPACs, you know, special purpose acquisition vehicles or companies, and liquidity frenzy. Now, this year, there's going to be estimated to be about 200 IPOs, so a lot less than the 1,035 in 2021. But the money being raised is estimated to be $225 billion. And this is a low volume but massive trillion-dollar mega deal. So the amount of money being raised or equity issued is bigger, which is more important, not the volume really. I suppose it's both to a certain extent. But equity being raised is a lot bigger, all right? Now, SpaceX, let's go on this. Biggest IPO in history. Elon Musk's vehicle, of course, and he'll probably merge with Tesla later on. I just saw a stat actually saying that I think 50% of people expect SpaceX and Tesla to merge before May 27. But it's IPOing tomorrow, Friday 12th of June. Target share prices $135 per share. They're going to raise $75 billion. $75 billion. And they're selling roughly about 555.6 million shares. The implied valuation at that level is around about $1.75 to $1.8 trillion. Instantly placing it among the most, one of the most valuable companies in the world. So just to look at the last set of results they had, they had a revenue in 2025 of $18.7 billion, net loss of $4.9 billion. So Starlink's making money. I think the rocket launchers make money. But the AIX part of it, so trying to launch sort of data centers into space, that's a huge loss maker. I think it made loss $6.9 billion last year. So the valuation here is going to be questioned. Or if you look at, you know, $1.8 trillion as a valuation, that is 95 times last year's revenue. 95 times sales last year. 95 times. Now, we often in this country talk about PEs. That's on profit, you know? And a PE of 95 would be high. This is not profit. This is on sales. That's nuts, isn't it? So if you imagine, for example, you know, sales, and I mean, profit probably is, what, 10%, say, of sales? If you've got 10% net margins, decent margins, and that's, you know, that is decent margins. It's not 95 times that. It's 95 times. So what would that be? If it made a profit of 10%, for example, it would be, what, another, what, 195? Just nuts. Crazy. 10 times that. It'll be a PE of 950, pretty much. So, but it's 95 times sales. That's the valuation. I know a lot of people jumping into this on the hype, but if you're looking at it from a pure fundamental basis and looking at traditional valuation metrics, this is a nuts valuation. Crazy valuation. It still may go up, though. You know, when there's momentum and there's hype, that trumps, you know, valuation. So the average valuation for an S&P 500 company is around about 3 times sales. This is 95 times sales. The average valuation for a NASDAQ company is about 9.5 times sales. So basically, it's valued, SpaceX is valued at 60 times that of an average S&P 500 company, and it's valued at 10 times that of a NASDAQ company. NASDAQ is of the tech indices, so a lot of hype in there already. But even so, even of the average of hypiest stocks, it's 10 times, you know, a bigger valuation than the average there. So this is quite interesting here. SpaceX will enter the following indices as soon as it lists. NASDAQ, Nasdaq 100, Russell 1000, Russell 3000. And this is because this wouldn't normally happen. Both the Nasdaq and the FTSE Russell aggressively adjusted their rule books specifically to accommodate a mega cap listing of this scale. It's nuts, isn't it? It's corrupt, isn't it, really? If you've got money, you're big, you know, they just bend the rules for you. They change the rules. If you're the richest man in the world, we'll just change the rules. What I quite like, though, is SpaceX will not join the S&P 500 anytime soon. It's a highly publicised decision. S&P rejected an internal proposal to fast-track mega-cap IPOs. So the index provider is strictly enforcing its core mandates. There's two mandates they have on the S&P 500. Seasoning. A company must be publicly traded for a minimum of 12 months before it can join. Profitability. A company must post cumulative post-GAAP, general accepted accounting practices, earnings over its most recent four consecutive quarters. I don't know if they're forecast to be profitable, SpaceX. But we'll see. In 12 months' time, it could be on the S&P 500. By then, I expect a bit of a rollover. So, the IPO pop. Let's look at the buying pressure here. This is why I think it's going to do well in the next month. Because passive funds tracking the NASDAQ 100 and Russell 1000 must absorb billions of dollars worth of SpaceX shares by late June, fund managers will be forced. So first of all, there's going to be buying pressure on SpaceX. As soon as it's listed, these funds, the cavalry, will be buying, okay? And I suppose a lot of other people will be buying as well, trying to buy. But where does this money come from? This is the worrying bit. Fund managers will be forced to execute massive pro rata structural selling of existing mega caps like NVIDIA, Apple, Microsoft, Alphabet, Amazon, to free up cash to buy SpaceX. And if you understand the mechanics here, yes, SpaceX will have a valuation of $1.8 trillion, but that's nothing compared to the size of the other companies. NVIDIA, what is it, $4.5 billion? Apple, trillion. Trillions and billions. NVIDIA, what, $4.5 to $5 trillion? Apple, $3 trillion? Microsoft, $3 trillion? Alphabet's, you know, around the same. So these companies will be getting selling pressure. As soon as that opening bell goes on Friday, you may see selling pressure, you know, on these other companies and buying pressure on SpaceX. So it's a very interesting dynamic here. I mean, you could go short these big cap tech stocks and long SpaceX. But here's an interesting stat, right? SpaceX is raising $75 billion, which is a lot for a stock market to absorb. Just to put that into context, $75 billion, the money they're raising, not their valuation, their valuation is $1.8 trillion, but just the money, the new money they're raising, is the equivalent to the entire market capitalization of Barclays Bank. And it's not as profitable as Barclays Bank, you know, it makes a loss. That's crazy, isn't it? From new investors, $75 billion just shows the scale. And Barclays is a you know, big bank with profitable operations. But that's what SpaceX is basically raising on the first day when it lists. Now, this is also very interesting. Alphabet, the parent company of Google, quietly completed and upstaged SpaceX just days ago, last week, by securing a colossal $90 billion in an equity fundraise. $90 billion. So $15 billion more than SpaceX. And SpaceX is getting all the attention, isn't it? You know, Musk is a genius at marketing, PR. But Alphabet, quietly on the side, just last week, just raised more than they're going to raise. By the way, $10 billion was via a direct private placement to Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. I do think Google, Alphabet, are going to be the you know, one of the big winners in AI. Because they have all the data, don't they? If you look at, you know, the advertising, their Gmail, their YouTube, they've got a lot of data they can play with. And also, by the way, that was the biggest equity fundraise via a publicly traded company ever. So you've got two, you know, world record-breaking events happening here within a week. Alphabet raising the most money ever by a publicly listed company, and SpaceX, the biggest IPO in history. So historically, no company has ever raised more than $30 billion in a single equity event. I think it was Saudi Aramco was the last one, just shy of $30 billion. But Alphabet and SpaceX have shattered that ceiling by a factor of nearly three, driven entirely by the unprecedented capital requirements of the AI infrastructure race. And it's not over. This equity issuance doesn't stop here. On Friday, there's rumours that other megacaps might be raising money, including Meta, Oracle, Amazon, Microsoft. Plus, there's more IPOs expected to occur, including OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT, officially filed its confidential draft S-1 paperwork with the SEC on Monday, on the 9th of June. They reckon they're going to list runabout in autumn 2026. Targeted valuation, $1 trillion. Also, Anthropic, the owner of Claude AI. Target window, late 2026. Target valuation, runabout $1 trillion again. Also, Databricks provides the underlying data architecture that makes enterprise AI function. Target window, late summer, autumn 2026. Target valuation, $1.34 trillion to $1.4 trillion. There's also Stripe Payments, fintech company. In fact, Stripe, I use Stripe quite a bit, and it's really usurped PayPal. PayPal's user, it's so complex. User interface is dreadful. They just need someone to deconstruct it and build it back up again because it's so complex. Maybe you want to find something, like a recurring payment you want to cancel. It's impossible to find. You have to Google how to find it. But anyway, Stripe is overtaking, you know, PayPal. But it's going to be a listing, apparently, this year for $1.4 trillion. Now, combined, listen to this. The upcoming floats of SpaceX, OpenAI, and Anthropic, just these three companies, okay, represent more than double the entire market capitalization created during the entire 1995 to 2000 dot-com IPO era. I'll say that again. Those three companies, SpaceX, Anthropic, OpenAI, they are raising more than the entire market capitalization created during the entire 5 years of the dot-com era, IPO era. So I did an AI search on the five ways this could affect the market, okay? Number one, the capital siphoning squeeze on the S&P 500. Investment capital is finite. When mega-cap companies issue massive amounts of new stock, it creates a powerful game of musical chairs inside institutional portfolios. To buy into SpaceX or handle Alphabet's, you know, $90 billion or $40 billion going to the market, fund managers cannot rely or entirely rely on idle cash. They are forced to aggressively prune existing positions to free up capital. Because index trackers must mirror these shifts, this triggers mechanical pro-rata selling across highly weighted S&P 500 staples. Megacaps that aren't actively raising capital find their stock prices suppressed simply because they are being used as funding sources to absorb new rivals. Number two, massive EPS dilution wave across big tech. For over a decade, big tech artificially boosts its earnings per share and return on equity by aggressively buying back and retiring its own stock. Printing billions of new shares completely reverses this financial engineering. By flooding the market with new equity, these companies are significantly increasing their total share counts. Even if net profits remain stable, distributing those profits across a much larger pool of shares directly dilutes earnings per share. If the massive capital expenditures funded by these raises fail to deliver immediate hyper-exponential revenue growth, valuations will face a sharp structural correction. And remember, these companies are now going from, you know, high-margin software business, capital-light, to now capital-intensive, you know, data center owners. So it's changed their model. And not only are they sucking shares from the market, they're now pushing shares back into the market. Number three, destruction of the market's buyback floor. Share buybacks have historically acted as the ultimate safety net for the stock market, providing a steady, reliable source of demand during market downturns. Hyperscalers have essentially turned off the buyback engines to conserve cash for AI data centers. Alphabet's abrupt pause on buybacks in early 2026 is a prime example. Without corporations stepping in to buy their own dips, the broader market loses its most powerful structural stabilization mechanism. This makes stock prices significantly more vulnerable to macroeconomic shocks and dramatic downward volatility. At four, severe margin contraction and deepening cash burn. The financial profiles of these massive new listings are vastly different from the highly profitable cash-rich software monopolies of the 2010s. As SpaceX S1 prospectus revealed, its impressive Starlink and launch revenue is heavily offset by a staggering $4.27 billion statutory net loss in Q1 2026 alone, driven by xAI infrastructure and Starship development. OpenAI and Anthropic carry similar highly capital-intensive cash burn rates. Flooding the market indexes with businesses that trade at astronomical revenue multiples, such as SpaceX's 95 trillion revenue, while running massive free cash flow deficits, degrades the fundamental quality of the major benchmarks, leaving the market highly exposed if credit or capital markets tighten. And lastly, number five, a severe equity supply shock and market exhaustion. There's a limit to how much paper Wall Street can digest at one time. The combined floats of SpaceX, OpenAI and Anthropic represent an unprecedented volume of new public shares entering the financial system simultaneously. This creates a classic supply and demand mismatch. When equity supply vastly outpaces organic investor inflows, asset prices naturally deflate. If early trading for these mega IPO stumbles, or if institutional demand hits an exhaustion point, the entire primary market could freeze up. A high-profile IPO failure under the weight of this supply shock would severely damage investor sentiment, triggering a broader market-wide risk-off retreat. But how will SpaceX's shares react after IPO? I think first day they pop on hype. First month, positive index buying, supported by these passive trackers, all that stuff. But there is shorter lockup period in SpaceX than most regular IPOs. Normally, a lock-in means when you are a holder of SpaceX as a private company, you own shares in it, and it goes public, you're not just allowed to sell straight away as soon as they float. You have to hold on to stock for like 12 to 18 months. This is not the case for SpaceX. The Q2 earnings milestone, expected in August, just 2 months post-listing, 20% of eligible restricted insider shares are immediately released for sale once the Q2 earnings results hit the market. 20%, a quarter of the stock that was locked up beforehand. The performance trigger bonus, an additional 10% unlocks early if the stock demonstrates strong momentum. Specifically, trading at or above $175.5 a share, that's 30% above the IPO price, for 5 out of 10 consecutive trading days before that first Q2 earnings release. Then, there's a 7% rolling drip, days 70 to 135. Over the late summer and autumn, a series of 5 rolling time-based tranches automatically release 7% of eligible shares at each milestone. That's day 70, day 90, day 105, day 120, and day 135. Then, there's even more of it, the Q3 earnings milestone, expected in November. Another 28% of the share pool is released immediately following the Q3 earnings call. And remember, we are now coming into this period where other IPOs will be happening. So if the pop happened well on SpaceX and people want to get into the OpenAI or Anthropic, whatever, they could be selling SpaceX shares, just get back into those. So, and then finally, day 180 in December, the standard lockup period formally expires, lifting all remaining restrictions on standard share capital. So it's only 6 months as opposed to 12 months. Like I said, on top of this, you have more IPOs and mega caps issuing equity. How can the second half of this year not be volatile with that amount of stock being issued to the market? And also the flip, I find very interesting, the flip from companies buying back their stock to now issuing stock. Complete reverse of that, mechanic in the market. So all I'd say was be careful. Don't get carried away. Don't think this is going to make me rich and jump in and go crazy. There'll probably be a better opportunity if you're not in the initial offering, which will probably pop and maybe last a few weeks or a month or maybe. If you're not in the initial offering, I think there'll be a better time to buy this down the line. Because I suggest the sheer amount of stock being issued, the overhang there will, essentially suck the oxygen out the room. And that's not when you want to be in the room. You don't want to be locked into that room, gasping for oxygen. It's a happy thought, isn't it? Anyway, I'll leave you. Obviously, no podcast tomorrow because I did one today, but I'll speak. Have a nice weekend. Got a busy weekend this weekend. I'm not that busy most weekends. Busy weekend. Hope you have a nice weekend. And the weather's going to be nice for Saturday and nice for Sunday. Right now, dreadful. But the sun is picking up. Good for my solar panels and my battery storage. But have a nice weekend. Looking forward to tomorrow. The big IPO, the biggest in history, SpaceX. Let's see what happens. Have a good one. Speak to you next week. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.